course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just, living the dream, living the dream. Got my coffee in me. I'm ready to rock and roll.
That's right. Me too. I got coffee as well. And today we are reviewing the movie Primate, which is in theaters now. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Ooh, let's see. Let me think here. I did. I actually meant to mention this last week, but I completely forgot. I did watch Welcome to Derry. I watched it all the way through.
Very good show.
Oh, fantastic. Let's see. What else did I watch? And didn't really watch much else horror wise, but I did start playing Silent Hill 2, the remake, which is what the upcoming Return to Silent Hill movie is based off of. So that is kind of playing that in preparation for the movie, because I played the original years and years ago. So it's been a little bit. So I wanted to get a refresher, and it's pretty great so far. So I'm enjoying that. But otherwise, not much else.
Well, let's see. I did watch a few things. I watched. I watched Hostel and Hostel 2. Haven't watched the third one yet, but I will. I watched the movie Ready or Not, which was really fun. And then a movie, my surprise movie for a while, is the movie Spree. Have you heard of this movie?
Spree. I
Yeah.
think I have. What is it about?
It was made in 2020, but it's getting kind of a little bit of a push. It's on Shudder. It's getting a little bit of push because it's got that Joe Keery guy in it, or whatever his name is, from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And it's also got David Arquette and a couple other people who used to be on Saturday Night Live and stuff. But this was a surprisingly fun and good movie, even better than I anticipated. And really, really fun. You need to watch this movie. It's on Shudder. It's called Spree. So good. He does such a good job in this, and it is just absolutely fun. And so glad that I decided to watch it. So that's my recommendation for the week, is to go watch Spree for everybody.
Yeah, so it's weird because Kayla watched this movie without me. Actually, she was like, when it came out back in 2020 or like 2021, it was on Hulu, I think, which I think it might be. I don't know if it's still on there, but I remember she watched it and she loved it, and she's like, "Oh, you need to watch this," and I never got around to it. So I guess I'll have to get around to it.
Yeah, very, very good, very fun. So. All right, well, then that's it for the what we watched. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, anniversaries, etc. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So starting us off here, our obligatory Scream 7 news. We have our official first official poster and teaser, of course, released. I mean, they released like a couple of different things about this, but they released like a full on like trailer. I've not watched it yet. I was waiting to watch it with Kayla because I heard that there's some maybe subtle nods to the possibility of a Stu Mocker return. And but no, the movie is coming to theaters on February 27th. Obviously, Dave and I are super excited about this. I think this is probably one of our most anticipated movies of the year. You know, every time a little bit of news comes out about this, you know, we gobble it right up, and we're ready to watch it for sure.
Right. Well, if our 2026 preview. It is our most anticipated movie of the year. At least that's what we said at that time. So, yeah, I watched it. It's the teaser. I mean, the teaser's good, but it's it doesn't give away, I don't think, a whole lot that we've not already heard about. I mean, there are obviously some shots and some things, and of course, everybody's dissecting it. What's this mean? What's that mean? But it's still all who knows right now. There's all kinds of theories and possibilities, and I think they're all at this point, everything's relevant and everything's possible. We just don't know yet, but hopefully they don't divulge too much prior to us seeing it. But yeah, it's coming up in just a little over a month. Pretty excited.
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, I think they're pretty much keeping it under wraps for the most part. So we'll wait and see. Wait and see when it comes out. But very good. Moving on to some Pooniverse news. The ensemble movie with all the monsters from the quote unquote Pooniverse. The movie is going to be titled Pooniverse Monsters Assemble. It is beginning filming this summer. So we will likely get a 2027 release on the Pooniverse Avengers-esque movie. And that's super exciting. You know, I think that'll give them time to put out the other movies that they're still working on. I know I thought they were working on like a Peter, no, the Peter Pan movie came out. They're working on like a Pinocchio, right? And maybe a couple other movies. But yeah, this will give them some time to get those all ironed out and pushed out. And then hopefully everyone will appear in love in the Pooniverse ensemble. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's supposed to have characters from all those movies, all of them. And I think Pinocchio, if it's not out, which I don't know if it is or not, but it should be out prior to this. But yeah, pretty excited. It'll be fun. You know, I know we won't get into it. We know there's a love hate thing with these movies, but I love them. They're fun. They're goofy. And I have a thing for cheesy horror. So yeah, looking forward to it. I'm curious how they. How they assemble the monsters and bring them all together. That should be interesting.
Yeah, that was going to be what I was going to say. I'm very curious how they're going to put this all together because obviously there's going to have to be a very there's going to have to be a very like clear like stepping stone, if you will, for how they all kind of you know come together. So I'm very interested to see how they're going to do that. I mean, they've done really good so far with all the other movies. I'm sure they'll be able to pull this off, but I'm just so curious. So, but we'll see. But only other bit of news we have is that the Toxic Avenger is now streaming on Hulu and Screambox. You know, we watched the Toxic Avenger movie, generally positive reviews. You know, it was a lot of fun. That's the big thing. The Toxic Avenger movie had a lot of fun to it. And, you know, you can't take it too serious because it's literally like, you know, it's literally about like a toxic monster who kills people as a anti-hero of sorts. So you can't take it too serious, but it was really great because it had all these somewhat big names in it. I mean, Peter Dinklage,
Kevin Bacon.
Elijah Wood, or
Yeah, Elijah Wood, yeah.
Elijah, I was, I couldn't remember if it was Elijah Wood or Daniel Radcliffe. I always get the two of them confused.
Hey, interesting.
They look kind of similar. If like you haven't looked at them in a while, if you think about the two, you kind of like their faces kind of merge together a little bit. But no, yeah, I mean, it was a great movie. It was funny how many big people are in this, and it was shelved for such a long time, but then they're like, okay, we got to get this out.
Yeah. And it's one of those movies that I kind of look forward to going back and revisiting. I don't know. It's for some reason, it feels like it's been so long since we watched this. And while I may remember it or whatever, it feels like it's been forever. And yeah, I'm interested to see how it feels on a rewatch.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say too is, you know, when we watched it, it was, I think we didn't get to watch it opening weekend because I don't think we could make it in theaters. So we had to like watch it later or something. I don't remember exactly how it
Yeah, I
happened,
don't know.
but I just know that when we watched it, it did feel like so long ago, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, well,
But
it's what
yeah,
happens when you stay busy.
exactly. I was like, it feels like it's been 10 years, but it's really just been, you know, less than a year, but I digress. But very good. Check out the Toxic Avenger if you haven't watched it already. It's definitely worth a watch. But we're gonna move now to some upcoming birthdays. We have our first one here on January 16th, 1948. We have John Carpenter, who of course is known for many, 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 many great works, but to name a few, Halloween, The Thing, The Fog, Christine, and many more. And it's funny, Dave and I, we'll talk about this later, we're watching a documentary series, I think it's called In Search of Darkness, and they're talking about the most, like, basically they're talking about the 90s, like the late 90s, and he's in that, and he's talking about all these movies and, like, you know, his, you know, how he views a lot of these movies from the 90s and how he's worked on a lot of them and this, that, and the other. So, yeah, it was, it's interesting that he's on this one this week, especially since I just saw him.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, what a huge birthday, right? I mean,
yes,
within horror, it doesn't get much bigger than John Carpenter. And thankfully, he's still out there doing some stuff. And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Honestly, he's still working. He's still directing. And he's doing a good job of it. So I, you know, can't complain too much. So happy birthday, John. Hopefully many more. And hopefully we get some more great works out of you. And we're going to jump now to January 17th. So the day after, 1977, we have Leigh Whannell. Of course, the creator of Saw also had a huge part in the Insidious movies. He's also done other things other than that. But I think probably one of his biggest creations was his collaboration with James Wan and creating the original Saw film. And obviously that then spawned an entire, you know, series of movies that are still hopefully being made. That's a whole other issue at hand too, is, you know, the uncertainty of the future of Saw that we're still kind of waiting to hear on.
Yeah, I don't know. Supposedly there's a movie going to be coming at some point. Supposedly there's going to be a video game too. That's in talks, but yeah, I don't
yeah,
know.
I heard
It was
that.
It was rolling there for a while. I thought things were going all right, and then it's, I don't know, the horror curse. Every franchise goes through it at some point.
I was going to say, I mean, it does happen to most franchises. And I think it also doesn't help that this franchise is as big as it is. And it's kind of had, I would say, a relatively large resurgence as it pertains to, like, Saw X, right? Saw X kind of revitalized everyone's interest, right? It was really good, had a lot of really great publicity around it, and just generally people loved it. So, you know, it's weird that, like, 11 got, you know, scheduled and then delayed, and then, like, okay, it's back on the calendar, and then now it's not on the calendar. So, yeah, we're just like, okay, well, we'll just wait, we'll wait, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so weird.
It is, but in any case, happy birthday, Lay. Hope you are, you know, or Lee. I always say Lay, but it could be Lee.
Maybe, I don't
guess
know.
I've never looked up the pronunciation of his name, so I hope I'm not butchering it. Lee or Lay, whatever your name is. Hope you're having a good one. But all right, and now this is an OG. We have January 19th of 1809. You heard that right, 1800s. We have Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe, of course, did not write the first horror books, right? He you know, and some would even argue that potentially his works are not horror per se. But I do think that Edgar Allan Poe really nailed the macabre and, you know, that sort of Victorian era darkness in a way, because a lot of his stuff, you know, was historical pieces in ways, you know, things that had happened prior to him, even though he was born in the 1800s, things like The Pit and the Pendulum, you know, The Telltale Heart, The Raven. You know, there are so many great works that he did that then went on to influence other people. You know, even to this day, you have you know, The Fall of the House of Usher, which is essentially just a long short, it's not a long series, but it's a short series, but it's essentially based off the works of Edgar Allan Poe. And that, of course, is, I'm trying to remember what the guy that does those, all those, he's
Is it Guillermo del Toro?
No,
no,
it's Mike Flanagan.
Mike
He's the
Flanagan,
guy.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was thinking, what, I can't remember, that's whatever that series was that Guillermo del Toro did. I don't know.
That was the Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. But yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, Mike Flanagan, I mean, he literally just in the last few years made a whole series about basically Edgar Allan Poe in a modern setting. So Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's always they're always doing Poe, right? I mean, the Raven's been done and told and adapted and whatever, derived from so many times and everything. So yeah, he very, very influential. Unfortunately, didn't get a lot of his props or any kind of financial rewards while he was alive. It was just a different era, a different time. And you know, he is. Everybody knows the name Edgar Allan Poe, and most people at least can name the Raven or something like that, even if they haven't read it or don't know fully what it's about. Most people, they still have that general idea. So we talk about people that have crossed over into that next level of, you know, pop culture, and I think Edgar Allan Poe is it. He's one of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He definitely is. And the fact that he's relevant, over 200 years later, definitely aids in that idea that he is very much an everlasting entity. So, happy birthday to him. And last but certainly not least, we have January 20th, 1970. We have Skeet Ulrich, of course, known for his roles in Scream, The Craft, and Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Skeet's fantastic. I have seen him in person. I didn't get to meet him like explicitly, but I got to see him at a panel at Pensacon a few years ago. Fantastic guy. I mean, he really loves talking about horror and just absolutely just he's such a very kind individual too. When he answers questions, everything else. Love the dude, and I mean, I always see so many fantastic people online like saying like, oh, he's great, and obviously I love him and Matthew Lillard too. They're hilarious together, and they call themselves the first husbands of horror. I don't know if you've ever seen that,
Yeah.
but it's obviously just it's more of like the fact that like they were in that first movie together, and like now they're best friends and they keep coming back together and everything else. So, and they got to kind of work alongside one another a little bit in the Five Nights at Freddy's 2 movie, not directly in scenes, but I'm hoping the next movie will be a little bit more direct working with each other with how everything works. But, we're gonna have to wait a couple years probably to see that next movie.
Yeah, and it's again remarkable that he's still out there, still doing things, still you know, making movies and making appearances, and
Yeah.
like, you know, just obviously an icon of modern horror.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, definitely an icon. And we'll continue to see him. And I think he's going to be in this next Scream movie, probably in a flashback perspective or something. But yeah, we'll have to see and see how that goes. But very good. We're going to jump now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. Starting us off strong, January 15th, 1988, we have Return of the Living Dead 2. Return of the Living Dead Part 1, that first movie, is fantastic. But I have a soft spot for the second movie because I remember when I was younger, I knew someone who had a VHS copy of this movie, and we would watch it occasionally. But I just remember the VHS copy had like that picture on the cover. It was like a weird like looking tornado with like a scary face on it. Which is like iconic, right? Like I've seen that before and people talked about that before. But anyways, I have a very special place in my heart for this movie specifically because I watched this one before I watched the first or the third or any of the other, Return of the Living Dead films. So I love the second one. Very interesting concept. Definitely a little bit larger scale than the first movie, in terms of the impact of like the zombies and whatnot. But also, like Return of the Living Dead, spawned off of Night of the Living Dead, where George Romero and the other fella, I can't remember his name, the other fella went on to make the Return of the Living Dead series because they had different ideas about how zombies should be and how they should act. So, yeah, I love those movies and this one specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I like them all. I like the whole franchise. Such a fun franchise, and just and take on zombies and everything else. And definitely, everybody that calls themselves a horror fan needs to watch these.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely one of those like required watchings. I feel like Because it really gives you like a picture of like how zombies have evolved for sure. But very good. Happy birthday to Return of the Living Dead. This is your movie anniversary. But we're going to jump now to January 16th of 2009. We have the remake of My Bloody Valentine. This, of course, had Jensen Ackles as a primary protagonist slash antagonist of the film. And yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. You know, a lot of people like to talk about bad remakes of horror movies, especially in the 2000s era. I feel like the 2000s era was a just stock full of people trying to cash in on old IPs. And that's not a bad thing, right? It's just that's the cycle of Hollywood. And you know, you had this one, you had Friday the 13th, you had Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, and I for lack of a better phrase, I thought this was a really good movie. You know, did it have the same significance as the first movie? Perhaps not, but still a good movie. And we also love Jensen Ackles, so.
Oh, definitely on that one. And I like the movie too. And I think there's a lot of people, maybe even a generation of people or whatever you want to call it, and a lot of merchandising and this and that that are because of this movie was remade, not necessarily because of the original. And it kind of brought it back into relevancy, and they didn't tweak a whole lot of the movie because it's a pretty damn good story. But I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, they didn't have to really change much of anything. It was almost not a shot for shot, but it was damn near a shot for shot remake, which means that the original was good. It adapted well to modern times, and we got what we got. So can't complain. But very good. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary to My Bloody Valentine. And we have one more here. We have January 21st, 1983. We have The House on Sorority Row. I don't think that I've seen this movie. At least not that I can recall. So, Dave, you'll have to refresh me here. What is this movie about?
It's just these girls' house at college that get terrorized. It's your typical early 80s, kind of goofy type horror movie. It's a fun movie. I do believe, I think it was remade at some point. I can't remember, but yeah, it's a fun movie, but it is definitely kind of an early 80s thing.
Yep. That seems about right. And like, that's not a bad thing. You know, the 80s were a very prime time for just horror movies in general, but specifically that trope of like, oh yeah, all these girls in a sorority house get terrorized, or all these girls in this place get terrorized. It was very much that trope. So I'll have to check it out. I do like the early 80s. It's always a fun time.
Yep.
But all right. Well, that does it for all of our movie anniversaries. We got a couple of upcoming releases. The first one, and perhaps the more important of the two, no offense. 28 years later, The Bone Temple comes to theaters on January 16th, and it is described as Spike is inducted into Jimmy Crystal's gang on the mainland. Dr. Kelsen makes a discovery that could alter the world. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Now, of course, this is the sequel to the 28 years later movie that came out not too long ago. At the end of last year-ish. And this is the fourth film in the 28 series, because we had 28 days, months, years, and then years, Bone Temple. So I'm very curious to see how this all works, right? Because we've seen the trailers. These were released very quick, close together. They were filmed back to back. Now, they are, as far as I know, I've heard, and I don't know if this is still the plan. Obviously, I'm not involved in the meetings for this. There's supposed to be three of these movies, right?
I think so, yeah.
And the rumor I heard was that they couldn't get the guy from the first movie. Cannot remember his name. It was the guy from like Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, but I can't remember the name either.
It's gonna kill me, but it'll come to me in a second. So the rumor was that he was supposed to be in these movies, right? And then the guy who made the movies basically like, okay, he's not in the first movie for sure, but we're gonna try and get him for a later film. So a lot of people think he's gonna be in the third movie that's gonna kind of tie into everything somehow. But yeah, I'm very curious to see where this movie goes, because they're kind of alluding to that the doctor character is going to basically cure whatever the hell is happening. That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see if that's like actually going to be what's happened or like how that works, you know. So very interested to see that. But also, I love the 28, you know, 28-day series and everything else. It's a very different take on the concept of like a zombie-esque creature, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I don't know. They're doing a lot of stuff with this franchise that I don't know, it's unique. They're kind of really expanding it and giving it a lot of depth. So yeah, I don't know. Who knows where this is going? I'll definitely have to rewatch the last one before watching this, because again, that it feels like it's been forever, even though I know it hasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. But Cillian Murphy is the guy's name. Just
Oh,
came to
yeah.
me. Could not remember that, but it just came to me. But very good. We'll see how this goes. We'll let you know next week when we review it. So, all right. We have one more upcoming release. This is a Screambox release on, so it's called Savage Flowers. Savage Flowers is coming to Screambox on January 20th, and it is described as: set in an infected world where the children are carriers, a young orphan sanctuary, and a ramshackle foster home, but she soon discovers it's not the world outside that she should fear, it's the girl she's inside with. This is interesting, obviously. Infection type movies and the like are always intriguing to me, and already this year has produced some very curious infection type movies and everything else. I'm very, very curious to see what this, you know, prevails for us. Because last movie we watched was sort of a zombie-esque movie, not an infection per se, but a zombie-esque movie. And this is another one. And I just saw a trailer for another one called This Is Not a Test that's coming out, I think, in July. So, I mean, already that's three zombie movies this year that I was not anticipating. So, I'm excited. I love Screambox, and we love this you know the streaming concept. So we will definitely be watching that most likely as well.
Yeah, it appears zombies, I don't know, they're at least trying to keep them out there. So we'll see. But yeah, this sounds fun. And the age old story of you are worried about the people on the outside, and it's the people on the inside that'll get you. So
That's what's the old trope, the call's coming from inside the house, you know, that kind of concept.
yeah,
But
or if someone's murdered, the first thing you look at is the spells.
right, exactly. So very good. We'll have to check that out. It is on Screambox, so if you guys have a Screambox subscription, or if you want ever thought about trying it out, right now is a perfect time. They've got a lot of good shit right now. But all right. We're gonna jump now, and we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Primate.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, we're back here and listen to those screams. It is review time. We are reviewing Primate, which is in theaters. It was written by Johannes Roberts and Ernest Riera, directed by Johannes Roberts, starring Johnny Sequoia, Miguel Torres, Umba, and others. Released January 9th in theaters. It grossed $11,155,908 domestically on opening weekend, which is good for number two. That's pretty impressive. And I know this movie was getting a lot of hype and everything else. The thing is, there's not a lot to say about this really, though. It's a very kind of your standard horror creature monster type movie. But I thought it was fun. Again, not breaking any rules, not breaking any molds or anything else. Lots of lots of graphic looking kills, lots of violence. The primate was definitely very creepy. Actually played by Miguel Torres Umba in a suit. which was pretty wild that he, all those mannerisms, you know, I guess he does, that's what he does a lot of, is
Right.
that kind of work. But it was pretty remarkable, and everything else. So yeah, again, I don't, there's not, to me, there's not a lot to say. It was a fun movie. I would definitely suggest people give it a watch, especially if you just like a good kind of a straight up horror monster, or you know, there's a set villain. Again, you know, you feel a little bad for Ben. It wasn't his fault, but it is what it is. And that's the way it goes. Some of the best quote unquote villains, you know, you feel just a touch of sympathy for them. So, but again, I don't know. I don't know a lot to say about it. I mean, it was a very straightforward movie, but well done in that straightforward nature. And you know, so hopefully it continues strong at the box office. It was number two behind the new Avatar movie, so not much, you know, not much else you could hope for than that. Because you know, this is not the kind of movie that's going to knock off Avatar, although it'd be very cool if it did. But no, I enjoyed it. It was fun. But again, nothing over the top, spectacular, genre shaking, where there's a lot of that kind of stuff to note. So, Ike, what'd you think?
Well, I have some thoughts. So I guess the first thing I would say is that there were some redeeming factors to this, that some of the effects were really cool. Obviously the makeup and some of the, like, kills and stuff like that had some pretty gruesome, shots and whatnot. And so I didn't necessarily hate that. But I do have a soft spot in my heart for, like, animals, especially animals like, monkeys and everything else. So it was a little bit of a hard watch just because I have that soft spot in my heart. Like, it's weird for me because, like, like, on one hand, like, I can watch movies like Jaws, where it's just a shark being a shark, right? The shark feels threatened, the shark's gonna attack. I can watch movies like Anaconda, where it's basically like a mutated snake, and so forth. So, it's weird because I can watch movies like that. But when I was watching this movie, my big issue is, first and foremost, obviously, and they mention this in the movie, the reason, and I'm sure most people can guess this, so this is not a spoiler. They kind of reference it in the trailer. Ben has rabies, right? And in my opinion, like, rabies is kind of awful. Like, it's like we've known about rabies for like hundreds of years, and we still don't have a cure for it yet, right? And typically, once you start showing symptoms of rabies, it's too late, right? Both in humans and in animals. So it's really kind of an awful disease, and not I don't know. It's weird because, like, I watch movies like Terrifier that have really, like, gruesome kills that are just super exorbitant and everything else, but I draw the line at rabies. But it's weird because, like, I don't like the sensationalism around rabies because it's a real issue. It's a real threat. You know what I mean? If a monkey or a dog or any animal gets rabies and they bite a human, the human can also get rabies. You know what I mean? And the only way to prevent that is to get, like, excruciatingly painful shots that, will hopefully prevent you from getting rabies. But yeah, no, it's just so weird, that, like, this is the line I draw. But I don't know. Like I said, I have a soft spot in my heart for animals. I don't necessarily like the sensationalism around rabies and how a lot of these movies kind of use rabies. And that's why maybe I don't really care for Cujo either, because, like, Cujo is about a dog who has rabies, which is this awful thing. And, I don't know. I won't get into it too much. I'm starting to sound like Michael Scott, who's, like, having the marathon for rabies.
Exactly what I was thinking. The
But
rabies kills one person a year. It's what it says or something.
it does. Okay.
Oh,
But
and I
no,
love. Oh, God, that episode's so good. It's where he carbo loads and he's like, oh, it's so good.
exactly as you say. It's a good episode. I love the episode. But hey, listen, I feel Michael Scott on the issue of rabies. No, and, like, to be frank, I mean, it doesn't really impact humans all that much because, like, typically it's like, well, fuck, the animal's got rabies. It bit you. We know you got bit. Like, let's give you the shot. So it's pretty preventable for humans. It's just for for animals. It's just unfortunate. And then it also kind of dives into the whole like why aren't your animals vaccinated against rabies, you know, and this, that, and the other. But anyways, so long story short, I'm not going to say I hate the movie, because I don't hate the movie. It's just that because of my personal inklings towards animals and specifically monkeys, it was a hard watch for me, because I didn't like thinking the monkey was the bad guy, even if it was a sympathetic bad guy, which is weird too, because like the guy who made this is Johannes Roberts. He made Strangers Prey at Night. He made the Welcome to Raccoon City Resident Evil movie. So he has made good movies that I like. So it's weird that like this was his next step, which, I mean, it is what it is. But anywho, I'll stop rambling. It wasn't horrible. It had some minor redeeming qualities. I probably wouldn't watch it again. Like, you know, I don't like movies where animals die. That, like, you know, like when I watched, fuck, what was that movie? Life of Marley or something like that, or Marley and
Me.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that movie tore me up. So, you know, same concept. Obviously, Marley didn't have a fucking rabies and didn't attack Owen Wilson, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, so that's kind of my inkling towards it is, you know, I wouldn't say I hate it, but I definitely wouldn't watch it again. I'd say it would probably be my baseline for that.
Okay. Well, didn't know we were getting the hot take on rabies today, but there it is. I feel like a new t-shirt is brewing with your face on that anti-rabies poster.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is the face of rabies.
This is the face of rabies.
yeah, okay. I like that. I enjoyed it. I was I think it helped me, obviously, that knowledge, which they very wisely, in my opinion, put out there a lot during the hyping of the movie, that hey, this was a guy in a suit.
Yes.
And that helped me a lot, because, you know, I don't know. I don't know why, but it did. But okay, then let's rate this thing. Again, I thought it was fun enough and everything else. So I'm just giving it the straight right up the middle, 3 out of 5. Ike, tell me, Mr. Rabies, what do you give in Primate?
I am giving Primate a 2 out of 5. Like I said, it was not completely, you know, irredeemable. It was just that it's not my kind of movie. I wouldn't tell the people not to watch this, right? For me, not a fan of movies where the animal is the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how I feel. Like I said, it wasn't completely irredeemable. There was some pretty nice effects in the movie. Some of the kills, like I said, were pretty gruesome, so I can appreciate that. Just would have preferred a human doing it, I guess. yeah, 2 out of 5 for me on Primate.
All right, there you go. Not a fan of the rabies, so there we are. Again, like we mentioned earlier, next episode, we're reviewing 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. This is one of those that, and I tell you, I just don't know. I don't know what to expect from this. Really, it's so wild to me. It's like, you know, you would think I would know what a 28 years later or 28 whatever you would have. This one, I feel like, is going to be just so different, and not in a bad way. I'm just saying there's a lot of anticipation for this, because I'm very curious to see what they do with that. But we will talk about that next episode. Plus, a little later this week, we are going to drop a short bonus episode, like Ike mentioned, discussing In Search of Darkness 1995 to 1999. So watch for that coming out. Just be a short thing. We're going to talk just briefly about it. Won't have the news and all that stuff. It'll just be focused in on talking about this. So like we always do, thank you to the wives, the listeners, and followers for all of your support and everything we do. And make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 and Screams, and you will find us there. So before we close this episode out, Ike, anything else you want to add?
Man, you know, with the documentary, this is a little peek behind the scenes. Normally when they send us screeners, right, it's usually hosted like on a website. But this time it was a file that you had to download. That motherfucker was like 14 gigabytes. It was a huge ass file to watch this. I mean, it's like a 6-hour movie. And I didn't have the room on my phone, so I had to pull it up on my tablet because I don't have like a laptop that's super reliable. So I pulled up on a tablet. It took like an hour to download, because I just have like a little Fire tablet. It's nothing crazy. But yeah, man, that was insane. 14 gigabytes. I mean, I know it's a 6 hour movie, but Jesus Christ, I was thinking like, oh, it'll pop up like on Vimeo or whatever the other, there's like a bunch of like of those like video hosting channels where you can like screen it to people with a password and all that shit. So I was really thinking that they're gonna do something like that, but I was incredibly wrong. So.
That's right. Large file. They're like, "Nat, we're not doing this. Tag, you're it." And but that's okay. I have watched every In Search of Darkness up to this. They are absolutely spectacular. I don't have any doubts that this one will be the same. I highly urge people to go out there and seek out the stuff of the 80s, especially because that's my prime time for horror. It was so good, so good. And they literally just talk to like every damn person that they can, and that there's some good stuff. And they hit a lot of movies and a lot of highlights and really, really good stuff. So, but again, we'll talk about that coming up in a little bonus episode. So watch for that. But until then, guys, make sure you go see Primate. Make sure you go see 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple when it hits theaters. Make sure you watch Savage Flowers coming to Screambox. And then make sure, I don't know, just go watch everything. Go in the theaters on the streaming services. Go watch Spree on Shudder. Good movie. Lots of you probably have seen it. I'm a little behind the curve on that one, apparently. But anyway, until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares. Ah.